It is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. I do have a request, a personal request, and that is for anybody who's in the mood to just send out some good thoughts and good energy to me, because tomorrow's my 70th birthday, and I'm so glad to have gotten this far, and I'd like to go on. That's all I need, your energy. Meanwhile, I've got a terrific rundown here. We've got, as I say, Winston Churchill sitting right here, sort of. And Astor Street Opry and the Animal Assistants and the new pop-up gallery. And I want to dedicate the show to what we need to be doing in this country, probably all over the world, but I'm going to focus right here, including in our community. I have hope for our community. I'm not so sure about our world, but it's up to us. Thanks for being here, everybody.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mothers' sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We believe in freedom, freedom cannot rest. That which touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me.
Come on.
We believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. To me, young people come first.
They come first.
They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gate.
Well, we certainly believe in freedom here. We have some folks here in the studio who are bringing us something that is going to be extremely rich, I know, and it is happening tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the NCRD in Nehalem. And the name of the presentation is Words That Matter. So I have my guests here to tell us. First, I'm going to ask Richard Spear. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Carol.
And my other guest is Anna Ortiz. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, did you hear that, folks? Okay. That perfect. Uh-huh. You can tell there. We're from all the way across the ocean. They are going to be doing excerpts from British Prime Minister Winston Churchill's letters and speeches from the World War II era. And it sounds like a very exciting performance or presentation. Tell us about it. How did you want to do? Did you want Anna to start us off, or do you want to give us an overview first, Richard?
Well, I'll give a brief overview.
Okay.
Three of these speeches are leading up to the wartime years. Nine of the speeches are during the war, when he became prime minister, and when he rallied Great Britain and indeed Western civilization, when Hitler was triumphed in Europe, and when no one else was standing up to Hitler, Churchill rallied the British people, who weren't quite ready when it all came to pass, to really stand up and oppose an evil as strong and powerful and successful as mm-hmm. Hitler had been. So Churchill was pretty much credited at the time and even today by many people as rallying the British people and opposing Hitler when no one else did.
Well, I'm listening to you speak. You are not British, although you might be of British origin, ancestry. What brought you to this subject matter? Because it sounds as though you did quite a bit of research.
Well, I've been a Churchillian, I think they call us,
really?
For over 30 years.
Okay.
I was born in 1943, and he died in 1965. So, you know, he was alive mm-hmm. for the first 20 so years of my life, and I remember him so well from the movie tone screens coming across the screen. He was larger than life, and he was recognized back then as the foremost man of Western civilization.
Were you interested in history, though, or what was it that made you think?
I was always a bit interested in history and different subjects, but particularly him, for some reason.
It was his personality and his...
He was larger than life when I was growing up. Yeah. He was recognized. Everybody went, there he is. He is the man.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, though, because in England and UK, I can imagine that. I don't remember that the Americans were so thoroughly involved and enamored of Winston Churchill. Nothing negative, it's just that he wasn't our guy.
Well, you know, I have a Life magazine here that was published in May of 1965, at the end of the war. A matter of fact, it was published right after the armistice was signed and the British surrendered. And Life magazine says right then, he is the last great man of Western civilization.
Wow.
So memories, and that's one reason I kind of did this program, because memories are fading now. People like me are, you know, mm-hmm. passing away. And I don't want his words mm-hmm. to pass away. Well, I don't think they should pass away.
And it sounds as though they won't, and they aren't, and you're part of the reason. So how did you structure this? What did you do?
Well, I selected his speeches, since I was somewhat familiar with his speeches. I selected the ones that appealed to me, that told the narrative of the time, because his speeches do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're recognized for doing that, for being a history, as well as making history. So I selected it, and then many of them were very long. So I edited out some of the details that, you know, we don't necessarily need, mm-hmm. and brought it down to a manageable time period.
And then you went out and found people like Anna. Well, I'm sure there's no one else like Anna, as a matter of fact. But Anna, tell us about how this came about. Did Richard call you and say, I'm doing this, do you want to be part? Or
yes. We had actually done this performance before in 2010 and in Manzanita, and it was very successful, and Richard had always been hoping to be able to do it again, and Richard and I had together had the opportunity to take a class with George Zunza, and I think it was during that time that you started getting the beginning ideas.
Who is he?
I spotted you as a potential Churchill reader right back then. And when I started to do the thing, you're the first person I called.
Who's George Zunza?
George Zunza is a fairly well-known actor who has quite an impressive resume, has been actually on the board, board of the Academy Awards, mm-hmm. and has done a whole bunch of fairly well-known movies that don't come to my mind right now,
right.
But a very well-known actor. And he's got a group down there that he tutors.
Down there,
Neatarts. He lives in Neatarts.
Okay.
And he tutors different people. And we went to this class a couple of years ago that was offered at the community college for aspiring.
I just didn't know where. I didn't have any reference for that.
Right.
So, Anna, did you get to choose what you were going to read, or did Richard ask you to?
Yes, Richard chose the speeches, and then I think he specifically chose the different readers for for their pieces.
Well, you've got a piece right there.
I do, and it's an interesting piece because this was written when Churchill was only 16 years old.
Oh, my.
And sort of a premonition in a way.
Mm-hmm. Could you read it for us?
Certainly. I can see vast changes coming over a now peaceful world. Great upheavals, terrible struggles, wars such as one cannot imagine. And I tell you, London will be in danger. London will be attacked, and I shall be very prominent in the defense of London. I see further ahead than you do. I see into the future. This country will be subject somehow to a tremendous invasion. By what means, I do not know. But I tell you, I shall be in command of the defenses of London, and I shall save London and England from disaster. Dreams of the future are blurred, but the main objective is clear. I repeat, London will be in danger, and in the high position I shall occupy, it will fall to me to save the capital and the empire.
Wow. Now, you said he was 16. What year would that have been?
1890. England at the time had been the primary leading country in the world for 75 years since Napoleon's defeat. And no one had any concept of what would come in the next 20 years, 25 years, except he did.
So do you think that this was just a boyhood fantasy? I mean, it ended up becoming true, but that's pretty phenomenal.
It's very phenomenal, especially because it happened.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, not just that London was in danger by means they had no idea, because at the time they barely knew about airplanes. They sure didn't know about bombers. And had no idea they were going to be invaded.
And he was 16 years old.
And so he had to go. It was, you know, World War One first and then World War Two. So he was involved in both the Great Wars. But he was just a schoolboy, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
So it's
with a very rich imagination, which he managed to manifest.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, Anna, you're going to be reading a couple of pieces, is that right?
Yes.
And who else is doing the readings in this?
Well, first I'd like to mention our narrator, Dave Bell, who has been in radio in Portland for over 50 years, and he's currently the producer of the Portland Trailblazers radio broadcast. And he just is a fabulous reader. He reads the text that I wrote that weaves all the speeches together. And then we have different professional people, mostly retired, who like to do this kind of thing. Normally, they don't do things in this area. They go to Cannon Beach and down to Tillamook and to the Coaster Theater, like Winston Laszlo.
I was going
to
say, that is this area. The Coaster Theater.
Oh, right. But not our area in Nehalem.
Oh, I see.
They're not sort of local actors in Nehalem. They go to the Coaster Theater and the Tillamook, the barn down there, and do stuff there. And it's interesting, when I talk to these people who don't normally do that, I say, I've got a project I want to put on locally in Nehalem. They look at me like, okay, what is it? And I go, Winston Churchill's speeches. They go, oh.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, because I'm noticing some names that I know from the Coaster.
Yeah, Stuart Martin, I'm sure you know. Jim Mudd is the founder of the Mudnick Foundation, which has given $1 million to local youth in our area down there, and was Firestone's principal public speaker for the last 10 years of his professional career.
But it sounds as though he's also been involved in the military.
His father was military years and years and years, was a retired military person.
Right.
And then we have Margaret Page, who does a lot of opera, a lot of ballet, a lot of acting up and down the coast.
And I saw the photograph, and you are going to be wearing formal, you will be formally attired. And did you have as much of an interest in Winston Churchill as Richard did, Anna?
I think growing up, I had a great admiration for him, but also took him for granted. I mean, we all sort of knew about him. And I do remember as a child, we went to Chartwell, which was an estate, a number of times just because it was a beautiful place and looked at the swans. And but my father had a great interest in him and collected newspaper articles. And I actually have a little model of the estate, Chartwell, that I inherited from my father.
Do you think that there's as much interest and admiration, either of you, or both of you, for Winston Churchill now? Do young people still know who he is?
Not necessarily.
None of us are very young in this room. It just occurred to me, whether it's in England or in the States.
I think I saw something recently. They did a poll, and it turns out Winston Churchill is some cartoon character dog over there.
Oh, lovely.
And 80% of the youth recognize Winston Churchill that way, and more like 20 to 25 or 30% recognized him as anything else. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, it's like so many things in life. Time marches on.
Which is why some of us feel that it's important to keep these historical. Obviously, you do as well.
Yes.
And Anna, do you still have family in England?
I do. I have cousins that are still there, more in the north of England.
Mm-hmm. So you know what's going on in terms of people's interests and lack thereof?
Not so much anymore. I'm very much rooted rooted here. It was interesting, though. My daughter recently said to me, "Mom, I've heard of Winston Churchill, but I'm not quite sure who he is." So I think, you know, the name is...
How old is she?
She's 33.
Oh, gosh.
Oops. Wait, don't give her name. We don't want to embarrass her any further. Well, here's your opportunity, folks who are our listeners. Here's your opportunity to find out who Winston Churchill was, not just the fact that he was the British Prime Minister. Most of us know that. But get some of him in his own words and letters. And I do appreciate that you have women reading as well, because you said it's the words that matter, and that indeed is the name of this presentation. It's happening tomorrow. This is the second of two presentations in the last month, and it may happen again, but right now this is your opportunity. 2 p.m. tomorrow, December 6th, at the NCRD. That's 36155 on 9th Street. Just get yourself to Nehalem and 9th Street and you'll find it. You can't miss it. And it sounds like a wonderful, inspiring event. So thank you so much for putting it together. Thank you so much for being part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you all for getting here, finding your way.
Thank you for having us, and congratulations on your impending 70th birthday.
Thank you. I guess you've been there already.
It's not so bad. Hey, right by it.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay. That's tomorrow in Nehalem. Right now, I have a piece of music from Ara Lee. She will be on Thursday, this coming Thursday, with her new CD, at Gala in Astoria at 7:30. Have a listen and stay with us. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
Gypsy woman, take my soul. dig my soul, dig my soul. Gypsy woman, take my soul and fill it up with diamonds. Gypsy woman, take my soul, dig my soul, dig my soul. Gypsy woman, take my soul and fill it up with diamonds. Oh, take my hand, beg a woman, take my hand, fill it with your wisdom. Beg a woman, take my hand, take my hand, take my hand. Beg a woman, take my hand, fill it with your wisdom. Oh,
that is Ara Lee, and again, she is going to be presenting this brand new EP at Gala on Marine Drive, 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. And Catherine Clare will be with her, along with Christopher Hayes and Chris Riedel. And so it should be a delightful concert and a full house. Well, speaking of a full house, we've got one here, and I've got a couple of guests who are going to be telling us about what we hope will be a full house next weekend, and that is the fundraiser, the annual fundraiser for the Clatsop Animal Assistance, one of my favorite groups here. Because they do such a wonderful job supporting the shelter and the animal, our animal friends in the area. Marcy Dunning is here. Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
And this is not her first time on the air. And also Amanda Burgard. Is Hello. That how you say it?
Yep.
Burgard. Okay. And Amanda, have you been to KMUN before?
Nope.
Ah, Amanda is a radio virgin. What do you know? Okay. So, Marcy, what is your actual title with CAA?
I'm vice president of CAA. And a couple of the things I do, I write, do the grant writing, mm-hmm. and I help out with fundraising, mm-hmm. and I walk dogs at the shelter. I do that 3 days a week. That I would say that's my favorite activity, wow. and other administrative types of things.
Okay. Now, is Clatsop Animal Assistance a... how we say, is this supported by the county or by the city? Or
we are an independent 501(c)(3). Yes.
Okay.
All volunteer run.
Yes. And what so, a surprise, huh?
Yes, right. Any expenses that we have are, most of the expenses are given directly to the animals. We pay for all of the vet care at the shelter. We pay a portion of all the spay-neuter for all the animals that go out of the shelter, and every animal has to be spayed or neutered mm-hmm. before it goes out. Mm-hmm. He or she goes out, I should say. Mm-hmm. We pay for toys and just things to make the animals' lives better.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, in order to be a volunteer, what do you need? How old do you have to be? What do you have to take a test?
To be a volunteer, there are two different things here. CAA volunteers, you could be a CAA volunteer being
Clatsop Animal Assistance.
Without being a shelter volunteer, but then you wouldn't be able to work with the animals in the shelter. For the shelter, you have to be, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you have to be 16. If you're younger than that, you have to come in with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, there's an orientation, a two-hour orientation. We have them twice a month in the winter and three times a month the rest of the year.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And the next one is actually tomorrow at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little, after the orientation, we take people out and either they practice walking the dogs or they go in and work with the cat volunteers.
Okay, so what would someone do if they can't be at the shelter if they were strictly a CAA volunteer?
They would help out at fundraisers.
Okay.
What they can't do is go to any events. We do a lot of adoption promotions, and any event where there's a shelter animal, one would have to be both a shelter volunteer
certified.
And a CAA volunteer. Exactly,
so they
CAA
can go as a
volunteer.
Guest, but they
yes.
can't be part
but
of it.
Always...
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
It's rigorous, so that
yes.
the people who are working with the animals are...
And, trained,
Are trained, yeah. And Amanda, are you one of the volunteers?
I am both. I'm a shelter volunteer and a CAA volunteer.
Okay, good. And we're going to get to why you're here today and why they're both here today, or how they, I know why they're here, but how they qualify to be on the arts program. That's Amanda's department. I just wanted to check with Marcy now. How long has the CAA been around?
Since 1999. And Ray Zimmerling was one of the founders, and she's still the president.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah.
She's terrific.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I can testify that I've been going every year to the fundraisers. They used to be at the shelter, which is a fairly cramped space. And when most of us bring our animals, it can be kind of crazy. Now, this is going on next week. That's on the 13th, which
Saturday.
Is Saturday, from 9:30 to 3, and it's got lots of room. It's in the Fort George Lovell Building. So get that on your calendar. Now, what is this fundraiser? Do you want to tell us? Give us an overview,
sure.
And then I'm going to bring Amanda in to tell us her part.
Well, there are lots of things going on. This annual fundraiser is where CAA, where we raise most of the money that we then use the rest of the year for the animals. And we're going to have, and we've had this in the past, Pet Pictures with Santa,
mm-hmm.
and a silent auction, raffles, including what Amanda's going to talk about, and mm-hmm. another grand prize raffle, which is a Simba motor scooter.
That, wow.
from Vespa Portland.
Wow.
The scooter is actually sitting at Lum's right now, and so anybody could go see it and purchase a pre-sale raffle ticket there.
Wow. Nice.
And then a fabulous bake sale.
Oh, my Lord. Mm. That bake sale. Oh, Lord. Last year, I stocked up for 6 months at that bake sale. Fabulous. And there was one woman in particular who did a heck of a lot.
Linda Perkins.
That's
Linda
it.
Linda Perkins is in charge of the bake sale.
She's outrageous.
Even as we speak, she is baking.
Oh.
I just spoke to her a
and
little
while
ago.
This is a week in advance. That's wonderful. There are so many reasons to go. I also have a fabulous photograph, a large photograph, that I got last year, and it is prominently displayed in my house.
Wonderful.
And there are so many ways that you can be part of this. And bottom line is, in addition to having fun and getting goodies, you are definitely contributing to the welfare of our local animals. So, Amanda, you are the art star next week. What is it that you are offering? Tell us.
Well, I have been doing pet portraits for about 10 years now, and that's what I'm going to be offering is a commissioned portrait of the pet, whoever the winner is. Well, dog, cat, horse, snake, bird, whatever they want. Usually
Wow.
dogs are the popular thing around here,
mm-hmm.
so I have a lot of dogs. But yeah,
tell us about your art background.
Well, the portraits that I do are typically either colored pencil or graphite, and they're done to look more like a painting, not like a sketch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've just been kind of messing around with that since I was 16, and I just love it, and I just do whatever I can to get people to have portraits done, because that's what I want to do.
Did you do any other kind of art before you got into the animal other portraits? Or
I mean, I kind of just started doing my own thing when I was 14, and it was mostly just pencil. I did take some art classes in college for painting, watercolor and oil and stuff, and it was fun, but it didn't really pique my interest like the graphite and the colored pencil does, and so I just kind of continued to do that.
And the animal focus?
I cannot stray from that no matter how hard I try. I try to do landscapes and I'm just bored. I love nature, but animals are, that's what I want to do. That's what I love, so.
Wow. So you're not only an artist, but you're a passionate animal
yes.
lover, which I'm sure speaks through
Absolutely.
Your artwork as
yes.
well.
Yes.
How exciting. So people can buy raffle tickets and then there will be various raffle prizes, but there are two grand prizes.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
it?
That's it. And those raffle tickets are slightly different from the other ones.
Okay.
And Amanda, you should tell people
yes.
where they can buy them.
You can get the raffle tickets for my portraits are at Dogs Allowed in Cannon Beach,
mm-hmm.
Which if you haven't been there, it's really, really an awesome place. If you love dogs and you have a dog, it's just really fun. So they're selling them there. You can get them at the shelter and also online through the CAA website.
The website and the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, and the Facebook
okay,
page.
Okay, and yep. then, of course, if you're lucky enough to be at the event, there will be tickets for sale
oh, yes.
there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so in addition to these raffles, there is, as I mentioned, the photograph that I got, that was part of the silent auction. And you have all
we
kinds
have
of things.
We have fantastic support from the community. We've gathered up quite a bit of stuff already. It will have full tables of wonderful things for people to bid on.
Yeah, it was all-consuming, actually, between the food and all the goodies. And there is as art, photography, paintings.
Gift certificates from a lot of the restaurants.
Okay, yeah.
All kinds of things.
And
yeah,
then I think I got some kind of footwear.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where I'm thinking all the things because it's the bottom line is you could just, and I'm sure CAA wouldn't mind a bit, if you just want to send them a check. That
oh, yes.
would be just fine.
Oh, yes. We always like that.
Right. What is your website, by the way?
It's dogsandcats.org, dogsncats.org. And we have a very, very active Facebook page. Kate Pickford is in charge of that. Yeah, we have 17,000.
Right? We just crossed the 1,700.
1,700.
Sorry.
17,000 okay, that's okay.
Would be awesome.
I'm not one of them because I
okay.
don't do Facebook.
Yeah.
So for those of us who don't have Facebook, you can go to Dogs and Cats.
And Cats, N.
Oh, N, the letter
yes.
N. Okay,
D-O-G-S-N-C-A-T-S.
CATS.org.
Mm-hmm.
And check this out. If you live in this area and you can in any way get over there, and you don't have to be there for the full day. You don't have to be there to win.
No, you do not.
No. Get yourself over there between 9:30 in the morning and 3 p.m. And, you know, they'll be staying afterwards, too. But the actual
yes.
auction ends at 3 o'clock.
Three.
But the bake sale might go on afterwards. And if it's anything like last year, there is way more than you can possibly imagine. And so it's all at the Fort George Lovell Building on 14th
and
Duane. And you can't miss it, really.
And could I
yes.
add one
sure.
thing? I don't know if a lot of people have heard this, but Linda and volunteers had baked an awful lot of bake sale items and made homemade jams, and we had them stored in an area, and they were a lot of stuff was stolen Tuesday night. We're coming back from that, but that was pretty
this
that
past
was pretty
Tuesday night?
Yes, that was pretty awful.
Whoa.
Hundreds of hours worth of work. stolen.
Talk about karma. Someone stole from the animals. Right.
I don't know
charity.
That they knew it was for
well,
the animals, but it was. Right.
They stole, and yes. It was, wow. So come and support the Clatsop Animal Assistance and get yourself some goodies. Is there a contact phone number in case someone wants to call?
I will give my number. That's probably the easiest way. It's Marcy Dunning, and it's 503-468-0028.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in, Marcy Dunning and Amanda Burgard. And thanks so much for what you do for the animals.
We love it.
Yeah, we do too. Thanks. And I have some music lined up right now from Bee. Bee is going to be at Gala on the 14th. That will be on this. That's not until next Sunday, but we'll play some of his music anyway. And he's also going to be on Day of the Velvet Voice. And the name of the piece, which I chose, is Moon Over Ocean. Yeah. Listening to the music of Bee, that's Birch Book, in Gowan's Lane. Lots of names for Bee. You'll recognize him when you see him. He makes most of his instruments and writes his music, and it is very special. So that you can put on your calendar for Sunday the 14th, not this weekend. And of course, the animal assistance is not this weekend either. However, this weekend, my next guests, I have two sets of guests coming up. They're both weekends, and actually they're on the docket for the whole month, and who knows, maybe beyond. Laree Johnson.
Hello.
This isn't one of those mics. Yeah, you got to have that much. Okay, Laree Johnson is here. And Shirley Dalston. So welcome.
Hi, Carol.
Good to have you here. And this is the, it's a pop-up Artists Gallery on 10th. And
correct.
That would be 10th Street in Astoria. When did it pop up?
Let's see. It was just before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So we made a call to the artist. They brought things in on Friday. Shirley and I and a couple of other artists hung on Saturday, and we were open on Sunday.
Wow.
And then we had Thanksgiving, and we're open now.
So you're open for the month, and who
yes.
knows what else will happen, and you are going to be part of Art Walk.
Yes, yes, we're very excited about that.
Okay.
Yep. We're on the map.
So tell us what's in this gallery, and why did you decide that it was a good idea to have this gallery?
Well, we love the idea of having art available to the public that is all local. So it's all Clatsop County artists. And we have a variety of art, including textile art, photography, three-dimensional pieces, fused glass, ceramic. We have scarves, music.
Yes. Music. Oh, okay. That's not on the walls, is it? The
music. The music, no, it's not.
Okay.
Like We've got Jennifer Goodenberger and Dave Ambrose Acoustica, so people can buy the tapes directly.
So what is Jennifer going to play? Is she bringing a keyboard?
Oh, no, she has all of her CDs, so she has
about
10, I think.
Oh, more than that, I
think. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's been,
yeah, she's, I've got them all.
Yeah.
They're wonderful, they're wonderful.
Yes, so, but she's not going to play at the...
No,
not yet.
We'll try to talk her into it.
Because on Art Walk, you could have live music.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Laurie, what are you going to have there?
Photography. And I have the art of the little black dress.
What?
Yes.
And folks, you have to be here to appreciate. Laurie is my guest on a regular basis, only you wouldn't know it because every time she wears a different hat. Literally as well as figuratively.
Yes.
So I don't quite know what this is. It's a green beanie. It could be an elf.
It's not a beanie.
It is actually
a designer, Bernard Workman,
God,
with
yes.
its own little label and its
God.
Own little special
well,
feather. And it's
Louis has got her own clothing line. It's she didn't make the clothes.
It's vintage.
Yes. Much of it, but she wears it beautifully. So this hat,
This is my Christmas one.
It's a Kelly green.
Yes.
And yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I sit corrected for sure. Shirley, what will you have?
I have paintings, and I teach or lead a group of artists over in Gearhart.
Oh, at Trails End?
At Trails End.
Okay.
And it's a challenge group.
What does that mean?
It's not an ordinary class or ordinary group. I give assignments, and they are challenged to do things that they wouldn't do ordinarily. Many of them are professional artists, and they got very excited, too, about Laurie's idea, and they jumped right in.
Okay, wait a second. I want an example of this challenge thing.
Yeah. I might decide that they should paint what's outside of the universe. And I would say it must be a large painting. It must be in a certain medium. And then they will proceed to develop and paint what's outside the universe.
Wow. Now, is that in class or they go home?
No, they go home.
And then the next time they come back, everybody is sharing
their work. Bring their work, yes.
I love it. I bet they love it, too, because
they have a great time.
It expands the universe of
the artist,
right. Literally.
I have the most fun, though.
Yeah. Well, your paintings are often quite large, but what do you have in this gallery?
Mostly small, but a good thing, I don't usually have sales, and I'm going to have things at half price during the Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be kind of a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get to Kansas.
Did you try clicking your heels together?
That's not going to work. Oh, I tried that a long time ago.
All right. You never know. We got theater folks coming up next, by the way. Okay. So you're bringing in your paintings. Are they flowers or what are they?
Well, they're mostly landscape.
Landscape.
The Flavel House is one of the favorites.
Oh.
Everyone likes that one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the river paintings,
mm-hmm.
And local landscape, mostly local.
And the Flavel House just went on sale, so...
Yes, I would love to buy that.
And the amount of work that would go into that, forget about Kansas.
True, yes.
What else? What else would you like to share with us about this Artists Gallery on 10th?
Well, it's run by artists, so if the doors are closed, it's because they're out painting. They didn't come in, but we're hoping to have fully staffed. And Shirley has a list of some of her students that are participating.
Okay.
Many local names.
Sure.
Yes. We have some professional artists. Joan Massett, she's been in some national shows. We've got Jane Means, mm-hmm. who's been in national. We have Kathy Moberg. She's a mm-hmm. fabulous pastel artist. Chris Bryant, who's been a mm-hmm. professional photography since she was a photographer since she was 8. She has sculpture and her masks in the show. She doesn't have any paintings this time
Chris
in the
Bryant?
Show. Chris Bryant
has masks. Oh, this
yes,
is
they're wonderful masks.
She does all kinds of good things.
Yes, yeah. She does all kinds mm-hmm. of things. And lots of landscapes, mm-hmm. lots of flowers. Kathy Moberg has a painting in particular that I'd like to say something about. It's a pastel that she did of Russell and Helga Dedman and Skip and Lenore Hauke.
Oh, yeah.
And they were at our house at a party and having a great time. And I took photos, and other people did, too. We were having such a good time. And she did a large painting of Lenore and Eric Hauke and Helga and Russell Dedman, and
wow.
it's to die for. And Skip wow. Hauke needs to get right down to buy it.
Oh, I can't wait to see that, because I know that Dedman's daughter. Well, yes. we all do.
Oh, yes,
they're
all
fabulous,
wonderful.
Rhonda.
All
okay.
Wonderful.
Well, this is going to be. I mean, it is already. Actually, I haven't been inside, but I did go over there, okay. and I have to say it was evening, so I don't expect anyone to be there. And I peeked in the window, and I saw the fabric art hanging as well as mm-hmm. some of the paintings. Looking forward to it again, folks.
Yeah, it's 3 floors.
This mm-hmm. is, what's the address?
106 10th Street.
Okay, 106. It's just right between the river and Marine Drive on the east side on 10th Street, and they're open all the time, but this during Art Walk, there will be some specials, including Shirley's sale. That's yes. going to be something to check out. I love walking into your house. It just bursts into color. So
love to have you there, too.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Laurie Johnson.
Thank you.
Who is wearing her what hat?
My Christmas hat.
Christmas hat, of course. Yes, that's it.
Of course.
And Shirley Dalston, both local Clatsop County artists with the Artists Gallery on 10th. Thanks so much for
Thanks,
coming
Carol.
In.
Thank you, Carol.
And by the way, folks, the again, Art Walk in Astoria is next Saturday, but the gallery is open all the time. And the Art Walk in Seaside and Gearhart is going on this weekend. That would be December 6th, tomorrow. Gearhart is 2 to 5, and Seaside is 5 to 7. Isn't that nice? They play so well together. That's a good thing. Thanks so much for being here. I'm going to read to you some of the things that are going on, and then I'll have my last guests tell us about theater production. Tonight, Barn Community Theater in Tillamook, The Games of Foot, Friday and Saturday. Coaster, Beauty and the Beast, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. Sandtrap is offering, quote, fabulous garage band this evening. Providence Holiday Concert is at 7 at Seaside Convention Center with the Cannon Beach Chorus, who also has a performance on Sunday in the Cannon Beach Community Church at 3 p.m. The Adrift is featuring Sid Snyder in Long Beach, and I'm sorry, that's where it's located, at Sid Snyder in Long Beach. Anna Tivel is the focus artist. They have music every night. Starving Artist is tonight, and the rest of the weekend as well. It's 7 to 10 tonight, 10 to 6 tomorrow, and 11 to 4 on Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, Columbia River Maritime Museum has a free community day from 11 to 3, and the 40s is the theme. And then Bay City Arts Center has an artist reception tonight with Elka Powers. And Sunday they have dinner and an auction to support the arts. Tomorrow, don't forget the Lutefisk. Yeah, tomorrow is Lutefisk at Suomi Hall. Sorry, guys. Don't be giving me... What are you saying? Don't, now your mics are open. Be careful what you say. Lutefisk is all day at Suomi Hall. That's the Finnish Hall. And I am an honorary Finn, so be careful what you say. Imogen Trunk Show in Ceramics from 3 to 6. And Sunday from 10 to 2, there will be a workshop at Clatsop College. Cloverdale is the name of the Oregon-born duo from Nashville at the Eagles Lodge in Tillamook. The Nutcracker is tomorrow at 2 and 7:30 and Sunday at 2. That's at Astoria High School. Winston Churchill, of course, is tomorrow at NCRD at 2. Twisted Fish in Seaside with DJ Nacho Business at 10 tomorrow. Bayside Singers at 3 at Ocean Park Lutheran on U Street. And, they're in two places, I know, but it's not here. Holiday Organ Concert at the First Presbyterian, 11th and Grand, at 4 p.m. Saturday, Christmas Through the Ages. The Sand Dune is featuring Countryside Ride, Voodoo, Michael Hurley, and Alternative Country Spur. Senators at 2, are an all-male barbershop quartet at the Tillamook Community Library, and Neil Main at 6. It's part of Seaside Art Walk at Farm Weather House and Garden, and the Crabtree Christmas at El Waco. Hopefully you heard the ship report this morning. Sunday, in addition to the Maritime Museum, and B is at Kala this week? Uh-oh. You know what? We better check with Kala. I think it's next week. The FinAm Fest in Deep River is having a Christmas concert. Long Beach Grange in Sandridge. Patchy Sanders, they're fabulous, at the Fort George Sunday night. On Monday, Cloud and Leaf, 7 is Nature Open Mic to celebrate their whole year of featuring nature books. Julie Brown at noon, Smuggling Torture, First English Bibles. Oh, that all goes together. Notes from Oxford. And then Susan Romersaw on Wednesday at Seaside Library. Dave and Tard with Basin Street Northwest at Bridgewater Thursday. The Astor Street Opry Company is having Holiday Music Magic with Deke and Lamar. Those two are outrageous. The Rat Pack and Araliot Gala and Gray's Harbor Center in Il Waco, Magic of Watercolor. Okay, now let's get to my last guest. They don't have a lot of time, but by God, these guys can talk, let me tell you.
We'll throw it in there for you.
Yes, you can. So one of the voices will be familiar to most of you, and that would be Nate Buchholz, who's been around this, in and out of this area for many years.
Yes,
and
true.
This is to let you know that tonight, yes, tonight, Scrooged in Astoria officially opens.
Yay.
I snuck in last night to the, I didn't have to sneak, actually. We were all invited. It was even in the newspaper. There was a sneak peek. But it opens officially tonight and runs through the 21st of December with Friday and Saturday at 7. And then next week, not this week, there'll be a Sunday, next week and the week after. And Friday nights are cheap nights, so you can head on over there. So, Nate, I understand you're the assistant director.
Yes.
And
yes.
I saw you on stage, didn't I, as old crook?
Yeah, big crook.
Big crook. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, big crook, that's right. And then your compadre here, Bill Carr,
hello.
I was not familiar with. And I said, oh, my God, we got to get Bill Carr on the radio because...
Well, thank you very much. Here's my rich, dulcet tones.
There you go, folks. Oh, my God, another fabulous voice for Coast Community Radio. Bill is the stage manager.
I'm the stage manager.
But you're also, I called it a radio performer. You sit there and look like a radio performer.
Remember Gary Owens from Laugh-In'?
I'm channeling
that persona, so I'm Gary the announcer.
I see. Well, you do a fantastic job. I really enjoyed it. Now, I don't remember. Has that been?
No, that was something new for this year.
It was brand new. That's what I thought because I was fascinated by it. I loved how you did that. You just kept slipping in all these ridiculous and and serious things as well.
That's very true.
And in that voice. That
our normal character, Bob the Elf, he was withheld at the North Pole this year, couldn't get out due to weather or something. So we had to call in Bill and his
shtick.
Yeah. Thank you.
I
was looking for
it. Well, it was a totally different and original one, and I thought it was terrific. So,
thank you very much. It's a pleasure putting this up. Community theater is the best.
I've been
involved with the Astor Street Opry Company for 5 years now. This is my fifth Scrooge in Astoria, and they just get better every year.
So what have you been doing? Have you been doing on-stage stuff or stage?
On-stage stuff and stage manager.
Okay.
Not so much for this production. For Shanghai, I get up on stage.
Okay, and, well, we'll have to listen for you.
Sure.
Just don't mask that voice.
Of course not.
There were several people who changed their voices, and I'm sitting there going, I know that person. I just really hope that their voice didn't change to that, because it's really bizarre. But it was great fun. So this is what year, Nate? Do you know what year?
This is the eighth year of Scrooge in Astoria.
It is. And, of course, Shanghai in Astoria is 30.
31 years it'll be this summer.
It'll be coming up in 2015. They just celebrated their 30th. And if you have seen Shanghai, there are a lot of jokes based on that. But there were some folks sitting near me who had never seen, they knew nothing, and they were still thoroughly enjoying the show.
Excellent. Could be a bit out of context for those who haven't seen one of the other melodramas, but, you know.
But there is also the Christmas Carol
thing. Helps it more be familiar, which is very nice.
But when those four little girls come in, and they're all the same size, and they're supposed to be sisters, I'm sitting there going, that poor woman. She had quadruplets.
They're great, though. Those sisters are so great.
They are terrific.
They've been on the ball. Really
How
fun
old are
to
they?
Work
they're
with.
Young, aren't they?
I think 11, maybe the oldest one. I'm not quite sure on the age, but you know they just get it. They've been really fun to work with. Those kids have. So everyone has to tell you the truth. We've got a very large cast.
Yes,
and to try to get everyone on the same page is it's really hard. When we have a large cast, we tend to have more absences. So you know, I don't think it was until last night that we actually had our entire cast there on stage at once.
It was very nice.
I'm sure Judy breathed a sigh of relief finally. But is Judy the director?
Judith is the director.
Judith Nyland.
Yeah,
is somewhere whenever there's an ASAC. Anything going on, she's somewhere there, either in front or behind, but she's there.
She's a staple for the ASOC, that's
definitely.
For sure. So,
the other person who is a huge part of this is Chris Lynn Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
She trained all those singers. Now, some of them have done it before, but there must have been a lot of new ones, too.
Well, it's hard to keep holidays, people give it up 1 year, but they don't want to give it up the next, so this is kind of part of my holiday rituals.
Well, good, because you were here doing all kinds of theater, and then you split, you left us.
Florida
just
for
like
10
that.
Years. And I had to come back.
And
because
you did.
Florida is not Astoria. By no means.
By no means whatsoever.
Not even close. No, that's for sure. Well, we're very glad you came back, and we're very glad that the...
Can I read a promo for the kids' theater?
Sure, you have 1 minute.
We have Winter Children's Theater Auditions, January 3rd from 12 till 2 at the Astor Street Opry Company. We're going to be doing Little Red Riding Hood for kids. We're looking for both boys and girls 6 to 12 years old or 1st to 6th grade. Come on down.
Okay, and maybe we can get that in an email, and we'll get it on the in the announcement bucket a week before it's happening, so folks know. Yeah, the good thing, one of the great things about the Astor Street Opry is that there is, they start with the young'uns, and I think they start at 8, is that it these days?
Yeah.
And then bring them all the way up until... we won't even go there, how old some of these folks are, how long they've been around. But it's great theater, great community theater. So thank you so much for doing it. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Nate, break a leg. Oh, maybe just half a leg because you're also the assistant.
Well, I already have a broken leg. We'll talk about
that. My God. Okay.
It's all good.
Astor Street Opry, 2 night, 129 West Bond. Thanks for being here, folks.